Hola and welcome back to Vos Memos. In today's episode, I want to talk about Scrum, the Agile framework, and how you can apply it to your personal life to fight decision fatigue and decision paralysis. Because if you're anything like me, the news cycle, everything happening with the climate and globally, politically, all of that makes everything feel so much more overwhelming, and it's that much harder to get the stuff done that you're trying to do every day or work towards your goals that you might have established earlier this year. So if you're interested, grab a snack, grab a little drink, and let's get into it. Alrighty, well, welcome back. If you're new here, I'm Angela. I'm your host today. And on this podcast, we talk about creativity, self-care, and career. And for me, those topics tend to overlap and intersect a lot. I would say this episode is a little bit more career-centric since Scrum is often applied in the workplace. But like I said, I think it applies to your personal life. I think there's a lot of values in it that you can take with you everywhere. And for me, it's made me so much more productive to have an agile mindset about my to-do list. So let's journey back to January when we made our New Year's resolutions, our goals. This is the segment of the podcast where I'll do a goal check-in with you. Last year, I was able to accomplish so much with this podcast because it was my accountability buddy. So I want to be your accountability buddy. Just a little check-in. How are you doing? Have you made any progress towards your goals? And are there blockers? Is something stopping you from making some progress? Maybe this episode with Scrum and the Scrum framework will kind of help you dig out of that rut that you're in and get some new motivation and tips and tools to make some progress. And the reason I think Scrum is a good topic for this podcast is because I think this podcast kind of functions like a Scrum team and a sprint cycle. So before I get too technical, I'll give you a high-level overview of what Scrum is so that those of you that aren't fully immersed in the software development space can follow along. So I just took my CSM, which is Certified Scrum Master credential. That was one of my goals this year, so check that off. And what I learned in it, it really filled out some gaps for me on what exactly Scrum is. So like I said in the intro, it's an Agile framework. Agile is an umbrella for all kinds of different frameworks that you can implement on a project team to have iterative development, which means instead of planning a project from beginning to end, you're planning it in segments, in small chunks, and you're iterating on that small chunk until eventually you create a final product. And each of those chunks, at least for Scrum, must be fully deployable, like an actual working functionality part of the product. You can't just show the client like something that is just your requirements or it's not fully functional. It needs to be something that you can demonstrate has some functionality. And I won't get too much into all the details of Scrum because honestly, it is a framework for a team. So applying it to your personal life is going to look pretty different since it's just you and me, right? And I'm not even really there. So what you need to know to apply it personally is we're going to be iterating. We're going to be sprinting, which means the segment of time that we have to complete our tasks is going to be a 2-week time box. And so that's why I say this podcast fits so perfectly into the Scrum framework because I publish on a 2-week cycle. And so in a way, this podcast is going to be our retrospective. It's the time where we reflect back on the last 2 weeks to see what we finished and how we did in terms of efficiency, efficacy, what we can do better in the next 2 weeks to be even more productive and effective. So think about this podcast as the retrospective. And all the time in between is our sprint where we're iterating towards our goals in little manageable chunks, keyword manageable. If you can't finish your work towards your goal or whatever the task is within the 2 weeks, then you need to break it down into a further smaller step. That way you can actually iterate on it. Because I think for a lot of people, they'll set these very lofty goals. And like for me, I am writing a book And in the last podcast, I said I would finish a draft and send it off to the beta reader, which I did. So what I did to do that and to get to even this point where I'm editing a full draft of a novel is I broke it down into manageable chunks, right? Because you can't write a novel in a day. I tried writing it in a month. You can't even write it in a month. So I think it's really important to break these down into those smaller chunks so that you can actually make progress and not get overwhelmed by how long of a project it's going to be. And this really applies to anything that is a larger project that could take longer than 2 weeks, because when we're sprinting and we're iterating towards that goal, we're going to break it down into those smaller chunks. Okay, so we have this podcast as the retrospective, and the time in between is our sprint. The other events in Scrum are planning, sprint planning. That's the second event. And that's what we'll be doing right after you finish listening to this podcast. You're going to go to your favorite notebook, software for tracking, a Kanban board, sticky notes, whatever your favorite tool is. And you're going to plan out what you want to accomplish within the next 2 weeks. Remember, it has to be done within these 2 weeks. It can't be something too big because then you won't be able to finish it, right? We're breaking those bigger items into chunks that we can actually feasibly finish within 2 weeks. The other thing to remember is our capacity in these 2 weeks. On an actual software dev team, they track their capacity in terms of story points, which is just an estimate of how hard the work is going to be and how much effort it will take. And the team might have a certain range of story points they can accomplish within a sprint. For you, I would just think about feasibly, like, how much time do you have coming up in the next 2 weeks to work on your project? And just don't overload the sprint, right? You want to be at the end of the sprint in the retrospective and be proud of, like, what you accomplished. So be reasonable with yourself. It is a sprint, but it's not, you shouldn't feel overwhelmed because that's what leads to burnout. And I think there is a lot of discourse out there on Scrum and Agile, how it doesn't work because it leads to team burnout. And that's really a sign of ineffective leadership, external pressures on Scrum teams to produce more than they can. And also teams that aren't all the way in. The Scrum really is an all-in type of ordeal. You can't just halfway do it because each team member relies on the others to do their job. And everyone is counting on doing it within the framework. Otherwise, things stop making sense, honestly. So that's another story for another day. I'm pro-Scrum. I'm pro-Agile. I love the frameworks and the philosophy of it. That's why I'm talking about it. So would love to hear in the comments if you've had experience on Agile teams that haven't worked, and I want to know all the tea. So, okay, we'll keep going on the Scrum events. There's five of them. We've covered the retrospective, sprint planning. The sprint encompasses everything. That's three. Okay, the third and fourth events are the daily Scrum. Okay, the third and fourth events are the daily stand-up or Scrum, daily Scrum, and the sprint review. So for daily stand-up, if you're applying this to your personal life, I would say that's your 15-minute check-in with yourself. Maybe that's your 15-minute hot girl walk. Maybe that's like a little journal entry that you do each day. Maybe it's as simple as like a 5-minute meditation. It doesn't have to last 15 minutes. But it's just a daily check-in. On a team, it'd be a daily check-in with the whole team to see how they're doing, what they're going to do next, what they've finished. And the same thing can be applied to you. You can check in with yourself. What have I accomplished? What do I plan to accomplish in the next 24 hours? What's going well? Like, do I have any blockers? Do I need help with something? Those are all questions that the team should be asking each other in a daily Scrum. And it's something you can ask yourself when you're working towards your checklist that's part of this sprint. And then the review is the one event where I'm not entirely sure it's applicable on a personal level. The review on a Scrum team is where you bring in your client, anyone that's interested in the project, and that's where you demo what you've accomplished that week. So I guess if you were to equate it on a personal level, that would be anything you want to share with other people, whether that's like maybe you're in a workout program and you can share like your progress photo. I know like a lot of people are starting like workout challenges for like that summer bod, a whole nother discussion on why we have to do this every year, try to have a summer body. It's a very messy topic, but people are starting like 75 hard and taking pictures of themselves every day for so they can look back and see the results, right? So that would be one example. Like the sprint review for you would be showing that photo to anyone that's like part of your journey, right? Another idea for a personal sprint review, I think about my goal, my reading goal, right? And the app I'm using to track it lets me put together like a little shelf of all the books I've finished. And with my reading goal, I am averaging about one book every 2 weeks. Yeah, I'm averaging a little more than one book every 2 weeks. So in theory, each sprint, I should have a book to share and talk about with people. So that could be my sprint review. And then if you're actually creating projects, like how I'm writing a book, the sprint review for me is sharing with my beta reader the draft, right? And that's what I did just the other day. I typed her up a little note. I said, thank you so much for reading this. And I sent it off to her to review. So, yeah, it's just another form of accountability, right? Every 2 weeks, you want to be sharing your progress to help you stay motivated and celebrate your accomplishments, right? The sprint review is a very positive event where it's just to brag, right? And bring everyone that's interested along in the journey. It's also an opportunity for some feedback. If there was anything that you needed feedback on for the team, they'd be getting some of that input from their client. But for you, I don't know, hopefully you don't have any negative feedback on your goals. Okay, so those are the five events. There are three artifacts part of Scrum. I don't think I've mentioned any of them. So there's the product backlog, sprint backlog, and the increment. So the increment is very applicable when you're applying this on a personal level. That's the amount of work that you complete. It is the completed package of deployable material, right? So for me, that would be one book per sprint that I finished, complete, done. It would be that draft, the next draft of my manuscript. And it's also this podcast episode. Every 2 weeks, I am making a podcast episode. So the completed podcast episode is an increment of work for me that I'm delivering. For you, I mean, you have to figure out what your sprint goal is and then deliver towards that. The other two items are going to lead into my next topic, which is how you organize yourself to do all of this, the product backlog and the sprint backlog. And they're two separate things. So the product backlog is everything you would want to accomplish towards your goal. If it's for a development team, it would be every single feature, and it doesn't have to be fully broken down. It could be on a high level. Every single feature they want to deliver as part of the software. And then the sprint backlog are those refined stories that are broken down into things that can be completed within the sprint. And those are put into the sprint to be done. So at the beginning of the sprint, you have a full backlog of items to do. And as the sprint progresses, that backlog empties. But the product backlog is always going to have stuff in it, right? Because we're not finishing the book in one day. We're not finishing it in one sprint. So there's going to be more things related to it in the backlog, the product backlog. And there's a last bonus thing that's part of Scrum. So it's not one of the five events. It's not one of the three artifacts. It is an ongoing activity, which is called refinement. And that's kind of how you get things from the product backlog in ready to go into the sprint backlog. So this ongoing refinement activity, usually done by the product owner, haven't mentioned product owner yet because like I said, this is a very small team, so it's not all going to fully translate, but the product owner in an agile scrum team would be looking at the product backlog, prioritizing it, and breaking those stories down into more detail so that the scrum team can tackle them in the next sprint or whichever sprint he or she wants that story to target, if that makes sense. So it's not like an event where everyone gathers and does it, and it doesn't necessarily happen every sprint. It's probably good to like look at your product backlog and see if anything can get cleaned up or added, but if you don't have a lot of stuff to do in there, like, you can skip it. You do it when you need to, basically, is what I'm trying to say. So all this talk about the backlogs leads me into my next topic, which is how I have used a Kanban board to organize my life for probably the last 3 years. My Kanban board of choice is Notion, mostly because it's free, also because you can find like aesthetic cutesy inspiration on Pinterest, so it doesn't feel so like corporate-y. So I've been using Notion for 3 years, and it started back in my senior year of college when, is it 3 years or 4 years? I don't know. Time blurs. 2022 and fall of 2021, I was using Notion to track all of my schoolwork. And what I would do, if the teacher had a syllabus with the assignments and the readings and all that, I would put every single one of them into Notion as their own card, as their own story, and with the due dates. And then I could create these different filters, which basically were sprints, where I could see what's due within the next 2 weeks. And I would just tackle my to-do list like that. And I loved it. And then I graduated, and all of a sudden, there's no structure to your life besides the 40-hour work week, right? And so I was like, what do I do with all this time? And I started writing my novel. I started creating this podcast about a year ago now. And so I had to create all these projects for myself because I love being productive. I love creating things. I'm a very creative person. I started reading more. So I started doing all these things. But it's so easy in the current day to just fall into a doom scroll trap and waste all your time after work on Netflix and scrolling. And then all of a sudden you're like, what? I don't have time to do anything. Like, how do I even go to the gym for 3 times a week? Like, I'm so tired after work and my life is disorganized. I don't have any time. And for a long time, I never prioritized working out, and that's been one of my goals this year. And I've been very consistently going to the gym 3 times a week or more this year because I'm finally adding it as kind of a to-do item each week. It's not optional. It's not if I feel like it. And we talked about floor and ceiling goals, so even on my worst day, I can still make it into the gym and do a walk, right? I can still go outside and do a little hot girl walk. Like, there's just no excuses anymore for me on the gym. So that's really helped me tackle that part of my to-do list. But back to the Kanban board, there's all these other projects I have. And if you're a creative person, you have constantly like different ideas, inspiration strikes you. And maybe you write them down, maybe you don't. I would really encourage you, when you have those ideas, you put them in your backlog. So you put those ideas into your product backlog. And the beautiful thing about a product backlog, and that's just what it's called in Scrum, but I mean, most people would call it their giant to-do list, right? Is you're not committing to those features yet. You're not committing to those stories. You're just writing down the idea. You can always withdraw it or cancel it, delete it. The only time you're really committed to it is once you put it into the sprint. So I would encourage you, create a product backlog. For me, like using Notion to track my backlog has been really amazing, especially last year when I decided I would do Zine Fest. I don't think I'm doing it this year, but I had to create like 5 or 6 different zines within the span of a couple months. And so anytime I had an idea for a zine, boom, put it in the backlog. And the same is true now for any of my projects. If I see something cool on social media or on a website, I will save that to my backlog so I can come back to it later when I have the energy or time or want to work on a project. And there are some things in the backlog too that I've been putting off. But if I more rigorously applied Scrum, then I could start moving those forward by slotting them into sprints. And I think I'm going to use this personally now that I've taken the training and I understand why you need all the elements to make it work. I'm going to start taking my backlog items and assigning them to sprints because then they actually have a deadline. Then they get done. And that's why it worked so well when I said in the last episode, I'm going to finish my manuscript by the next episode. I essentially slotted it into a 2-week sprint. And I said, this is a chunk of work I believe I can finish within 2 weeks. And there was nothing else. There was nothing else in my sprint between the last episode and this one. And honestly, I'm recording this like on a Thursday and I'm publishing it on a Friday. So really, it took me the entire sprint to finish that chunk of work, which was the last edits of my manuscript. But it really motivated me to get it done within a 2-week time frame. So this is what I'm saying. Like, it works. It really works. And the iterative nature of Scrum means that you can never feel overwhelmed with it, because if you're doing it right, everything can be done within that sprint. And yes, there are some sprints where you could push yourself. You're like, okay, taxes are coming up. I need to finish all my taxes within the 2-week sprint. And I have a bunch of other things going on. It's going to feel like a really heavy sprint. But on the next sprint, you can take it a little easier, right? It's just a give and take. And that's what I was saying at the beginning, too, is when people complain about Agile or the Scrum methodology, it's because the environment that they're in is not fully bought in. There's external pressure on the team, and maybe even their Scrum Master is letting them down. The whole goal of the Scrum Master is to be the team's like champion and cheerleader and coach. If the Scrum Master is letting their team burn out, they are not protecting them. They're not being a servant leader for the team. And I think that's a huge red flag. If the team is feeling burnt out, it's not the team's fault. It's not Scrum's fault. It is the environment or the Scrum Master that is not helping coach that team to understand why all the events matter, why maintaining the artifacts matter, and coaching the rest of the environment, the rest of the company, on why Scrum works. And like, the company needs to allow Scrum to work as well. So that was a little bit of a rant, but I just see all these like clickbaity articles, Agile's dead, Scrum sucks. Like, and it's just from people that don't get it and that aren't doing it right. So I've kind of got two last points here. One, we need to talk about the product owner. Who is the product owner in our lives? And then I just want to end with the values from Scrum and Agile that can be applied to anything, anywhere. So who is the product owner in this idea of Scrum? Because I am acting as the Scrum Master by motivating and coaching you on the tools and checking in with you, seeing how it's going. I'm acting as the Scrum Master. You're the developer, right? You're working on the iteration. And this is a big no-no in Scrum, but you're also going to be the product owner. Hate to break it to you. In an actual Scrum team, you really should never overlap these roles because they're full-time jobs. Like, the product owner is getting input from the client, they're creating the product backlog, they're refining the product backlog, they're prioritizing things, they're answering questions of the developers, like, what are we supposed to do? Tell us more about this part, this story. And the developers are working on those increments, so they don't have time to be like prioritizing things and creating the stories, refining them. So there's a reason they're separate roles. But if we're applying this to our personal lives, you have to be both, because no one can really tell you what to do with your life, right? And no one can tell you how to achieve these goals. So you will have to define your goals. You will have to create that backlog as you go. And you'll have to break that backlog into manageable chunks that you can complete in sprints. So usually it would be a big no-no. I would say we'll let it slide for applying it to the personal life, because I mean, if you're not the product owner in your personal life, that means that someone else is, which either means you're in a cult, and there's a reason people join cults. It's because they want to hand over that responsibility of what am I supposed to do with my life to a different entity. So that entity would be the product owner. Or, I mean, that's really the only scenario I can think of where you wouldn't be the product owner in your own life. If you can think of one, drop it in the comments. Because, yeah, like, you really want to be the decider of your own destiny. And also, you want to be prioritizing things. Like, for me, writing a book and publishing it before I'm 30, that's one of my life goals. That's a top priority. I'm going to turn 25 this year, which is not that old, I know. But I am, like, only 5 years out from that deadline that I've given myself on publishing this book. So that's me being a product owner and prioritizing what I want out of my life and out of my goals. So you need to do the same, unfortunately. But like I said, with the backlog, anytime you have an idea, you just put it in there, or a task, you just put it in there. Taxes, it's in there. Groceries, it's in there. Gym, it's in there. Like, just whatever art you want to work on, it's in there. So, yes, it's a lot of work. And that's why life feels hard, because we don't have product owners to tell us what to do. We have to be the product owner and developer. That's very exhausting, but it's necessary so that you can have control over the project, which is your life. And so my final takeaways here, I'm going to leave you with the Scrum values and the Agile Manifesto. Because I think they apply to things beyond just the Scrum team, beyond your personal self. It's a way of seeing the world and seeing other people. So for Scrum values, the first one is commitment to achieving the team's goal and to supporting each other. Like, you should full-heartedly be committed to your goals, and you should always be supporting other people around you, right? Like that, I just love that. Focus on the work of the sprint and make the best possible progress towards these goals. So just giving yourself that focus, that drive, that yes, these are important to me. I want to achieve these goals, and I'm going to focus on them over 2 weeks at a time. Openness about the work and challenges from the Scrum team and stakeholders. So this one, I mean, it could be applied at a varying degree, right? Like being open about your challenges. That's what I do on the podcast. I talk about what I'm facing with everything in my life. So you find your own method of doing that, whether it's with friends, family, a journal. I think being open is a great quality. So I would strive to be more open in general. I think that applies. And then respect each other. This one, we should always be respecting other people. Like, I love this idea that it applies on a team level, it applies on a personal level. And then the last thing is probably my favorite on the personal level and on, like, in the corporate world, whatever. Courage to do the right thing and to work on tough problems. I just love that word, courage, because sometimes it's just a hard time. Like, you wake up, you forget your lunch, your car is covered in frost, and you got like 6 hours of sleep. Like, some days you just don't want to do it, but you have to take a little bit of courage and get the job done. Or maybe you have to like speak up on your team because you see something wrong happen. Like, maybe someone does a microaggression, or I don't know. Like, there's just so many scenarios where courage is such a good word and we don't use it enough. And then lastly, the Agile Manifesto. If you look up the Agile Manifesto, it's like an internet fossil. I don't think they've changed the website since like 2001, and you can tell. But it's because it's very simple content. Like, there's no need to update it. So here's what they have to say in the Agile Manifesto. Individuals and interactions over processes and tools. And I love this one so much because, especially in the world of AI, AI chatbots, AI blah, 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 blah. Like, I want people interactions, and I want that to be valued. So many times I feel like we're moving towards this direction where it's just like, oh, well, fill out that form. Like, oh, like, make the appointment online. Like, just taking the people out of it and taking the people out of solutions entirely. Like, oh, like, you don't need to hire an artist, just make an AI generated art. Like, no. There's like so much more meaning behind like an art piece that an artist made versus art that an AI generator made, if you can even call it that. So I love that one. The next two, I would say, are pretty software oriented. Working software over comprehensive documentation. That is what I've been talking about with like the increment needs to be complete and functional. So this kind of applies where it's just don't overwhelm yourself by creating something too big of a goal that can't be completed within the sprint. Focus on things that can be done in the short term that you can iterate on and that are actually working solutions. And then the next one, again, I'm not sure this one really applies. Customer collaboration over contract negotiation. I don't know. If you know, tell me in the comments how this one could apply on a personal level. My initial thoughts are just like be a collaborative person, be a friendly, helpful person, but also stranger danger. So I don't know. But the last one I think really applies in this, like, state of flux that we're in, where every day it feels like the world is falling apart, and it is responding to change over following a plan. And I think we just are really going to have to be flexible over the next 4 years. Things aren't always going to go to plan, and we have to be flexible and adaptable and resilient. I think the underlying word in that whole idea, responding to change over following a plan, is resilience. So, this would be my call to action to you. If you're interested in this framework, read the Scrum Guide. It's free, it's online. I'll link it below. And think about like how you can be more agile in your day-to-day life because and how you can be more resilient and responsive to change because it's hard to break routine. I know it's really hard to like get out of your routine, especially if you're at a low energy routine. But if you want to accomplish all those things that you have in the back of your mind or on your bucket list or just the basic things like groceries, gym, and taxes, I think this can really help you stay motivated and productive in a hot girl way, right? So I'll leave it there. If you enjoyed the episode, give it a like, give it a 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and follow. You can learn more about the podcast at angelageorge.com/voice-memos. Follow me on Blue Sky at angelageorge.com, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye.